Welcome to the Open Scroll audio series. The study you're about to hear was written by Bob Schlenker and is being read by Aaron Herman. You're listening to an installment of When Cometh That Thief in the Night. This is the study called The Sign of Jonah.
The sign of Jonah, referred to in Matthew 16, is more than just the sign given for religious skeptics in the first century. It is a sign that will be given to religious skeptics in the 21st century as well. The sign is resurrection. It was a powerfully effective sign when Jesus arose, and will be again when those after his kind arise in a glorified body to testify of the Lord of life. When the bridegroom steals the bride out of her father's house, the owners of the house will take note of the sign of Jonah. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4. Signs had been given in abundance, but only those with eyes to see recognized them. They could interpret the signs of the times, but the religious leaders were blind and therefore could not. Those who followed the blind were also blind. What was, is. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. It's common knowledge that the sign of Jonah relates to the 3 days and nights Jesus was in the grave, according to the pattern of Jonah being in the belly of the fish. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40. The sign is not just the being in the fish-belly grave, but from being spit out on dry land. Resurrection is pictured in being spit out alive. It is the resurrection that limited the time in the fish-belly grave to 3 days, and that is the sign. The sign of Jonah will again be given to those who cannot interpret the signs of the present times. These are the religious leaders appointed as the head of the house in the following scripture. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Luke 12, verse 39. The church authorities, and those who follow them, by accepting their doctrine as truth, will not know at what hour the bridegroom thief Yeshua is coming to steal his bride away, out from among the others in the house. When the bride is stolen away, that resurrection event will be assigned to them, the sign of Jonah. What generation since Noah's day has been more wicked and adulterous than this present generation? The name Jonah means dove. A dove is a symbol of the Spirit, as seen at Yeshua's baptism. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Mark 1, verse 10. Baptism is for revealing, so baptism is a sign. See Baptism the Prophecy. Baptism is a picture of resurrection, passing through death into new life. Baptism is a kind of sign of Jonah because it is a symbolic representation of resurrection. Also, it is a sign of Jonah because Jonah means dove. And you can see from the following verse that the Spirit as a dove was given to John the Baptist as a sign. Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' John 1, verses 32 and 33. A dove is also a symbol of the bride. In the Song of Songs, the bride is referred to as the bridegroom's dove in three places: chapter 2, verse 14, chapter 5, verse 2, and chapter 6, verse 9. As you look at the immediate context of each of those three dove mentions in the Song of Songs, the bride theft resurrection should be obvious. The bride theft will be the resurrection sign of the dove, the sign of Jonah. There's another sign of Jonah, dove, bride, prophetic scenario relating to the bride theft resurrection in Genesis 8. When Noah was looking for dry ground to appear, a resurrection symbol, he employed a dove that gave him the sign he needed. After 7 days, a complete cycle of appointed time, like the Pesach feast, the dove returned to him in the evening with a freshly plucked olive leaf. As you may realize, the bride will shortly return from this present mission with the olive leaf. Natural branches will have been grafted onto the olive root, as the 144,000 of Israel accept Yeshua as their Messiah. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. Genesis 8, verse 11. Noah knows how to interpret the signs. The sign of Jonah, dove, bride is the appearance of dry ground, new life. Romans 11, verse 15, acceptance of Yeshua and attendant resurrection. Note this interesting insight, fellow watcher. Prior to sending a dove, a raven was sent. This unclean bird was sent as a symbol of a similar sign we now seek, the unholy spirit revelation sign of the unclean bird. This bird was sent out, but not to see if the water had abated. The reader isn't told why the raven was sent out. We're not told about this bird's mission or whether it succeeded or failed. We just know that it continued to come and go until the water was dried up from the earth. And he sent out a raven, and it flew here and there, literally went out, going and returning, until the water was dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove from him to see if the water was abated from the face of the land. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, so she returned to him into the ark, for the water was on the surface of all the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her, and brought her into the ark to himself. Genesis 8, verses 7 through 9. The name Noah means rest, so those of you who are unaware of the significance of passages where the meaning of a name is found in the immediate context of its occurrence should note the special emphasis upon the dove returning to Noah/rest when she had found no resting place for the sole of her foot. Noah here represents Yeshua, the real ark builder. The meaning of the name given another Messiah type is treasury of the glorious rest. See Genesis 41, verse 45. I think this specially emphasized verse reveals something of the bride's character. She finds rest in him, even and especially while the unclean bird is flying to and fro, coming and going from the ark while the waters dry up. And look at the dove's master care for her. So the sign of Jonah is all about resurrection being a sign. It relates to the Spirit. It relates to the bride. It is a sign for skeptical religious people. Have you ever asked, why was Jonah in the belly of a great fish? What is the meaning of the fish symbol? Here's a clue. Go to the parking lot of your nearest church and examine the backsides of the cars. Then come back when you've received insight. The bride comes out of the body of Christ in resurrection, just as the fish vomited Jonah out of its belly onto dry land. Vomit? Yuck. But isn't that how it has to be? I previously noted the meaning of the special name Pharaoh gave Joseph. The name of the bride Pharaoh gave Joseph means, I shall be hated. Now meditate on Jonah's prayer. It may feel familiar. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah chapter 2, New International Version. Verse 8's message is chilling. Oh, do not forfeit the grace that could be yours, friend. Are there some you know who may yet be spared doing just that? Have you been sent to tell Ninevites to repent? The upcoming bride theft sign of Jonah will be the sign given to those Christians who have not interpreted this present time. Convincing evidence is given in the verses that follow the passage I quoted from Matthew 16 earlier. The lesson about the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees should now be plain. Their teaching that no one will know the time, etc., will be exposed as a lie promoted blindly that served to cover their own ignorance and wickedness. The point Jesus makes about the bread is made by reference to understanding the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. I have exposited the feeding of the 5,000 scenario at length, showing it to be a bride theft prophecy. Indeed, when the bridegroom steals the bride out of her father's house, the owners of the house will take note of the sign of Jonah. And this concludes our presentation of the sign of Jonah. Thank you for listening.